Reagan Carroll. Let's welcome her.
Hello. Can you hear me? Okay. This is not my thing, so I'm very nervous. So if it sounds like it, I'm sorry. But let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the people that went before us, Lord, that left such a great example for us. Father, help us to have our hearts and minds open to your word. Lord, teach us what you want us to learn. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 40. Well, first of all, my colors are yellow and purple, and I did not wear purple because I didn't want to wear yellow and purple. but we'll talk about those in a few minutes. So I want to read Genesis 40, verse 14, real quick. It says, this was Joseph talking to the butler. He said, "Remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house." And then in 23 of chapter 40, it says, "Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." And then we get into chapter 41. "Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years, but who's counting, right? Joseph finds himself stuck in what must have seemed to be a never-ending nightmare. His days in prison were probably very monotonous. I've never been in prison, but I can imagine that you do the same thing every day. Even though he had favor with the prison keeper, he was still in prison, wondering, when will this be over? He surely had moments of doubt and questioning. Why was this happening to him? After all, he's a good Hebrew. He loved the Lord, and he desired to please him. Why would this be allowed in his life? But he holds on to hope. In Lamentations 3:26, it says, "It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." While Joseph waited in prison, he may have recounted what God had already done in his life. The Lord spared him from death in the pit at the hands of his brothers, gave him favor in the sight of his Egyptian master, and then again in the sight of the prison keeper. God was at work in Joseph's life during this time, and the Lord is at work in your life during your trials as well. God uses our afflictions and sufferings to make us more like him. He molds us and refines us. There's purpose in our pain and design in our distress. And finishing in verse 1, well, starting over in verse 1, "It came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream." Joseph had no idea what was going on that night, nor did he know what was in store for him the next day. But the appointed time for the end of his suffering in prison had come. We're going to skip verses 2 through 7. Those are Pharaoh's dreams, but they're told later in the chapter, so we'll read them later. But moving down to verse 8, "It came to pass in the morning that Pharaoh's spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh." Of course not, because this was a divine setup. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And then we read on in verses 9 through 13, and I have a lot of verses, so we're going to be reading a lot, but just hang in there. "Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, 'I remember my faults this day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. Both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and he told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream, and it came to pass just as he interpreted for us. So it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him.' Suddenly, the butler remembers Joseph's plea to him when his own dream had been correctly interpreted. And now he tells Joseph, or Pharaoh, about Joseph. And during the hard times, we need to remember that God sees the big picture. It would have been nice if the butler had remembered Joseph immediately upon his restoration. But what might have become of Joseph? We don't know for sure, but he could have been released from prison 2 years earlier. He may have been able to go find his family, or he may have made a new life for himself somewhere else. Instead of rescuing Joseph from 2 more years in prison, God had a plan to rescue a whole country, as well as other lands, from a devastating famine. Joseph was in the right place at the right time to be easily found when he was needed. God's timing is always perfect, although we don't see that until we look back at our circumstances. Moving on to verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. I want to focus on the word quickly here. Even when it seems that nothing is going to change in our circumstances, or that God doesn't see us or isn't working on our behalf, when his timing is right, things can happen quickly. So hold on and don't resist. And what do I mean by resist? While in prison, Joseph was safe from Potiphar's wife. I'm sure she didn't go visit him. So he could have chosen to stay in the security of what he had known for the last 2 years. However, if he had chosen that route, and if Pharaoh hadn't killed him for disobeying, he would have been rendered useless for what God had planned for him. Joseph came quickly because he was ready for what God had for him, even though there was the possibility of more suffering to come. So for us, that means don't stay in your prison, whatever that may be, any longer than is necessary. When God gives you the opportunity to move on, let's do that. Verse 15 and 16. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Joseph is presented with an opportunity to glorify himself here. He could have secured a great place in Pharaoh's eyes, but instead we see humility on display in his life. He honors the Lord, and he points the king of Egypt to the king of kings. In James 4:10, we're told to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift us up. And Joseph has certainly matured since his first experience with dreams. He stays humble, and we'll see how the Lord will lift him up in just a bit. Verses 17 through 32, real quick. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream, I stood on the bank of the river. Suddenly, 7 cows came up out of the river, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then, behold, 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first 7, the fat cows. When they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So I awoke. Also, I saw in my dream, and suddenly 7 heads came up on one stalk, full and good. And then behold, the 7 heads, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin heads devoured the 7 good heads. So I told this to my magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. So out where I live in Jefferson County, we have a lot of cow pastures and a ton of cows. But I've never seen a cow chowing down on another cow. And that's because cows chew their cud, not their cousins. So, this was definitely a weird dream. Okay, thank you, girls. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one, and the 7 thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So the people in Egypt are about to have 7 great years, and then things are going to get really bad. So bad that they won't even remember the good times. Kind of like 2020, when we were all like, remember when we could breathe without the mask? Or remember when we could actually go into a restaurant? But they won't even remember those times. So this is going to be really bad. But God had a plan, and he is about to reveal it through Joseph. The people are given a 7-year notice of coming disaster. We don't usually get that kind of information when our world is about to change, but when it does change, how do we respond? 2020, for example. How did you respond when you didn't have any toilet paper? How about when you get a bad medical diagnosis? Or when issues come up in your personal relationships? Joseph shows great wisdom in his response and counsel in the next few verses. Webster's Unabridged Dictionary defines wisdom as knowledge and the capacity to make due use of it. Joseph not only gives Pharaoh knowledge concerning what his dreams mean, but also gives instruction on how to prepare for what is coming. So we'll read verses 33 through 40. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And by the way, that would be doubling the taxes because they would normally pay 1/10. So for 7 years, they're paying double taxes. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." But so Joseph wasn't trying to set himself up for this position. He was simply stating what needed to be done. And again, we see that humility in Joseph. Pharaoh is able to tell that God is with Joseph and gives him the job. So, like I said, my color was yellow and purple, so we're going to talk about colors for a minute. Tracy and others have already said that yellow was used for purification, but in my search for information on the color yellow, I came across this really cool fact, and that is that yellow is the most visible color of the spectrum. It has a high light reflectance value. Therefore, it acts as a secondary light source. Joseph so reflected the light of the Lord that Pharaoh was able to tell the Spirit was in him. What about you? Do you have your yellow on? Next, we see the color purple come into play. Purple is often used to represent royalty and nobility. It is also associated with power. We see Joseph go from prison rags to royalty and extreme power in just a matter of a few minutes. But in reality, this moment was the culmination of years of God's plan being worked out in Joseph's life. So let's read 41 through 46. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I've set you over all the land of Egypt." And then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh. And without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, I think, and he gave him as a wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. So in Joseph's life, we can see a picture of the child of God. Joseph was a slave and a prisoner, just like we were once slaves to sin and a prisoner to our flesh. But we've been rescued. Joseph was given Pharaoh's signet ring, which bore the king's seal. Ephesians 1:13 says that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Joseph exchanged his prison clothing for fine linen, and we've been given robes of righteousness in place of our filthy rags. Joseph rode in the second chariot, a place of honor and authority. The Bible says we will rule and reign with Christ, and Pharaoh gave Joseph a new name, and the Lord will give us a new name. 47 through 49. Now in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. And he laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. So we see that Joseph was a diligent worker. and he took God at his word and got busy preparing for the famine. Doubling the taxes probably didn't make him very popular, but Joseph took care of business anyway because he believed God. Taking God at his word and acting on it is not always the popular thing to do. In fact, it seldom is. But what Joseph was doing was going to have a profound impact on the people later on. Your decision to follow the Lord and do what he says will affect those around you, even if you don't see the impact until years later. You may even be used to save someone's life. So be diligent in what God gives you to do. Verses 50 through 52. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Even though Joseph spent the last 13 years in Egypt, surrounded by a different culture with false gods, he holds on to his heritage and faith. He gives his children Hebrew names with significant meanings that show the goodness of God. Sorry. Manasseh means causing to forget, and Ephraim means I shall be doubly fruitful. Joseph was still human, even though he was being mightily used by God. So I doubt if he ever would truly forget the pit and the prison and all the things he had gone through. After all, those things became part of his testimony. But he did not have to let the memories control his life. We may never truly forget our trials and afflictions, but we can move past the pain and allow fruit to be brought forth. The goodness of God far outweighs anything we ever go through. It may not seem like it in the moment, but when we get to the other side of our afflictions, we know God is good, and good things come to those who persevere. And then reading the last four verses, 53 through 57, the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do. The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all the lands. So remember, when God says it will happen, it will happen. And this divine setup continues. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for your word and just what it can show us, Father. And I thank you that when you say something's going to happen, that we can take it to the bank, it's going to happen. And Lord, help us to read your word and to know what you say is going to happen. And let us, Lord, be diligent about doing what you have for us to do. Lord, there are lives that need to be saved, and I know that you will use us to be a part of that process, and I just pray that we would be diligent. Thank you, Lord, for this time, and give it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.